Welcome back to Enemy Within Radio, live on Spreaker.com, and hopefully we're joined by Mark Snyder. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Tommy and Tommy. How are you guys?
Finally, we have somebody on air.
Has it been that kind of day for you?
It's been a bad day, Mark.
So how are things in England?
Not too bad. Have no snow yet. Have you had the pleasure of the snow this winter?
We've had a little snow. Today's a nice quasi-sunny day at 40 degrees. You can't complain about that in December, you know.
Beautiful. We were just talking before the break about art and how art's being attacked and basically downgraded. What's seen as art now is not really art. So it's people that are putting splats on walls, putting pieces of blue tack on a wall and calling it art, and because people stand in front of it and say, oh, this is wonderful.
It's interesting that you guys are talking about this. I'm a software engineer now. I'm for the past 20 plus 25 years now, I've been a senior programmer analyst one of the largest companies, Fortune 500 company here in Columbus, and but my first degree was art. Mm-hmm. And I really like the art of the Renaissance, and I almost thought about getting a master's degree in art history, but I figured I better try to get a job someday, you know. So, but I agree with you totally. I think a lot of the modern art stuff is, you know, especially if you take art courses, you go in there. I'll never forget this in painting class. This guy was getting his master's degree in painting. And what he did is he created this large canvas. It was about 6 foot tall and 3 foot wide. And it was all black, except for down in the little corner, he had a little feather that he painted in white. And he was doing like his dissertation on this. I mean, it was basically a black painting with nothing there, except this one little feather. And which you couldn't even really tell it was a feather, but that's another story. But man, he could talk. He talked a half an hour about how wonderful this black was. And I just sat there shaking my head going, I obviously ain't got it because I can't BS that well.
So. That would have been kind of cool if it was, if you could actually see the feather. It was just all feather in the corner. That kind of is art, but...
Good evening,
Mark. Hi there, Mark. Nice to get you finally on, but we've been doing a lot of things over here, you know, different projects and so on, and it's been a bit chaotic, but it's nice to talk with you again. Look, Mark, it works like this, you know, one of my, well, I didn't marry her, but one of my wives, she was in Sweden, and when I met her, she was studying to learn about philosophy. Mm-hmm. And she was really excited about it, and she said, oh, man, this will be good. I said to her, let's see what happens. She came back after the first lecture, and I said, how'd it go? She said, I just walked out. I said, oh. All that effort to get into that, and what happened? She said there was this Yank American who had come over, and he started the lecture, and they paid him, by the way, about $50,000, you know, to do this tour around Scandinavia, and his first thing was, do you understand? Nothing is knowable.
Oh, boy.
Well, she turned around and had the obvious conclusion. So why the should I listen to you? If nothing, if you don't know anything.
I run across people that have that attitude still today, and that does bug me.
It's worse.
Because... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
It's worse today. I mean, you have this nihilistic ideology that is spread out all over the world. Well, the Western world, which is why we are collapsing, which says there is nothing that you can know about anything. It's only your opinion.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, but it's not my opinion that Brzezinski is a schizophrenic. Go and talk with any of the...
Well, this is really a good thing that you're bringing up, because one woman that I have a lot of respect for, and I don't know if you've ever paid any attention to her writings, is Ayn Rand.
Oh, I know her very well.
To ring a bell, yeah.
Oh,
she's great.
Atlas Shrugged and the...
Yeah, I've got that book upstairs. I haven't read it yet. It's too massive.
Oh, no. Be careful of Ayn Rand, because Ayn Rand directs you on... But she is an egoist, yeah? Where she says that the individual is always superior. And that's not quite correct. We actually are social human beings. And what she does is create the idea of genius not being connected with those who are lesser in their soul. And that's where she goes wrong. I agree with her on many, many aspects. You know, the strength of the individual is very important, but the strength of the individual is the strength to give without receiving. That is strength. When you give without receiving, but her characters are all about self-aggrandizement, you know, in order to prove their point. And I can't agree with that, because I know that I've seen people who, in fact, when I think about it, you look at the Beethovens of the world, and there are many examples of this, who created something. I'll tell you this, Mark. Think about this. I do not like artistically the works of Van Gogh. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I can't. I think they're crap, childish pieces of junk. Yeah? And yet, I think that Van Gogh was a great person, because he did it regardless of wealth. He did it because he had a passion for it. So he rings true. Whereas Gauguin, who was a prostitute, who took the works of Van Gogh and the techniques and the ideas, you know, and then created a business. So whereas Van Gogh was real, you know, and there was a love, and that's why I have some copies of the cornfield and so on my wall, because I respect his passion. He didn't ask for money. He didn't want to be famous. He just loved what he was doing. And that is simplistic, but is in actual fact the essence of what you do in life. Because if you do it for aggrandizement or something else, you're a cheat and a liar. But if you do it because you love other human beings and you want to show them fun and happiness and goodness, then you're all right, even if you're not a very good painter.
Would you agree, Mark, that art has been attacked and art has been downgraded because art actually progresses society?
Yes.
I totally agree. I think it's one of the mechanisms they're using to control society. It seems like all of entertainment is focused on lowering our collective IQ.
Wait a minute, Mark. There is the bum, that woman, what's her name?
Kim Kardashian.
That's it. That's the one. I can't pronounce it. Anyway, that one. Her bum is apparently her talent.
Well, you know, back to Van Gogh, though, but do you like Van Gogh's self-portrait? I like that work.
Yes, I do, because it's realistic. It also shows a passion. But then again, I mean, he only wanted to make enough money to buy some more oil paints, whereas Gauguin, he said, wow, man, this is getting popular. And he jumped on it, and he did anything to just...
Apparently, Van Gogh was a bit of an asshole. That the oldest woman in Britain, she actually used to, well, she died, but she used to sell Van Gogh paintbrushes. And she used to, she said he used to come in the shop and it'd be a complete asshole.
Oh, really?
I'm not saying that. This is significant, what you just said, Tom, because... It's not the question. Look, if you have a...
It's not the question who was an asshole. Obviously, the art is great.
Well, I'm an asshole.
I'm not saying that. The art was incredible. I'm just saying it was an asshole.
It's could have been done by a trained five-year-old. But the point is here. He had a true passion. You see, Gauguin only had a financial or a self-aggrandizement. Like, do you remember what Mark was just saying about that big black canvas with just a feather? Mm-hmm. Yeah? He thought he was being profound.
Exactly.
That would have been kind of cool if you could actually make out the feather and it was a really nice feather in the corner. That is a piece of art. It's all black and you've got this beautiful feather in the corner. If some
weather so good, I'm dead.
That's what I'm saying. But this guy's feather, you didn't even know if it was a feather or a
feather.
Look, what we've got here, and let's get serious here. This is what Tom and I argue about nearly once a month or twice a month. And that's
really
the cultural question. You see, Tom has the opinion that the video games and all of this doesn't affect anything. I insist they are part of the reason for the nihilism, the nothingness of our so-called culture. And again, I can listen to a person like, I don't know, country and western singer or something.
Oh, my, yeah.
Sometimes you will hear something. But so long as that person is doing it through wanting to do good, it reflects itself even through the fact that the music is not particularly original. Yeah? But there is a certain thing. It's like Louis Armstrong, yeah? I mean, the guy was a drug addict. I mean, well, let's say he was a good pot smoker, yeah? But what he gave through his effort was a kindness to other people because he'd suffered himself. And it's the people, the arrogant people, who just say, I'm a genius. Oh, look at me. I've created something wonderful. That one of the guys is that Weber. Yeah?
Music. You're not talking about Alfred, right?
Yeah. No, not Alfred.
I'm not talking about Alfred Weber. I interviewed him last night. You better not be talking about it.
We're talking about Alfred, Mark.
I meant Weber, the one who did all these so-called works of genius, you know, these musicals. What is his name?
Andrew Lloyd Webber.
That's the one, yeah. Yeah, they call him a genius. But you know what? Think about this. You got people who can actually sit around. I don't know why they want to torment themselves, who will listen to 12 hours of Wagner. Well, you don't need to whip yourself, do you? Just listen.
You know, there are, I have to admit, there are some Gauguin I like, too. I mean, you're a little more critical than I am, but I'm on the same page with you. There are a lot of people that are called artists that I don't enjoy looking at their work. It looks kind of like a mess to me. I'm totally on board with that. But Van Gogh and Gauguin, there's some stuff about their work I like.
Yeah, well, as I said to you, I can handle Van Gogh because I know he did it through the power of a very childish, idiotic love for colors and ideas. I accept that. Gauguin was a little prostitute who caused him to chop off his ear because he wouldn't screw him that night. Let's be honest about it. I mean, they were homosexual lovers, and Gauguin tormented him to the point that he cut his ear off. Yeah.
Interesting.
That's a very nasty, actually, thing. Look, we can go through history. Have a look at Chopin. Chopin never, ever wrote a symphony. Do you know why?
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, he never wrote a symphony.
How come? Why didn't he?
Because his wife, who was a little... can I use the word bitch?
Used every other word.
Who threatened to leave him if he ever developed into that area, because it would take attention away from her. Same thing with Shelley. Remember Shelley? Percy Shelley?
No, I don't.
Now, Shelley wrote, Ode to Joy. He wrote some beautiful stuff. He lived with Mary Wollstonecroft Shelley, who was the woman who wrote the book Frankenstein.
Oh, wow.
Mary Shelley, yeah.
Yeah. Why did she write Frankenstein? Because when Shelley was in London, he met Ben Franklin just before he left to the continent, and she told him if he got involved, yeah, with Benjamin Franklin, she would leave him. And he was besotted with her, like Chopin was with his wife. And she wrote this hateful book. What do you think Frankenstein is about? Frankenstein is an attack against electricity.
Really?
Yeah, think about it. Electricity made the monster come alive.
Ooh, maybe there's a deep, profound meaning here. We're just
There is. And this,
maybe it's...
Go ahead.
Maybe it's related to transhumanism somehow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You see, this is the one thing the elite is terrified of. That's why they despise the Van Goghs or the Shelleys or so on in creativity in human life. If it is done for the good, it is good. I have my God. You have your God. But let me tell you this. If you are doing good, all you have to do with God is add a G, an O. Be good. Be God. Then you are doing the good. And then even if you are a bit incompetent like me, you get away with it.
Well, that's pretty profound.
Yeah, but think about it. It's true. Because when you do it for your self-aggrandizement, you degenerate.
Yeah.
This is the reason why people like Jimi Hendrix, everybody says he was a genius. No, he wasn't.
He was a genius, sure.
No, he wasn't. He couldn't even play the guitar.
Sure.
You see, my little blue blanket.
Oh, turn that down, Tommy.
Why do I feel I need to take a drink of wine?
Well, welcome to Enemy Within Radio.
I think we should be having this discussion in a pub or something.
We are.
All right.
It's called the Internet Cafe.
It's called Enemy Within Radio. Get off the aspartame and onto the beer.
Yeah, but come on. I insist, and I will insist on this until I die, which could be during the broadcast.
It could be in the next 10 minutes, Mark.
You're only hoping because you're a Hendrix fan.
I'm hoping for 9.
Look, come on, the guy couldn't even play. All he did is make noise.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he did. Very loud noise.
A very beautiful noise, Tony.
He wasn't. And look what happened to him. Because of the fact that that's all he could do, he ended up killing himself.
Well, look, Van Gogh, he chopped his ear off.
What? Yeah, I know, but that was love.
Well, just look at what happened to him.
Yeah, but he did it through pure love, passion.
He did it through pure love. Same as Jimi Hendrix.
No, Jimi Hendrix. I tell you. After he'd shot himself.
It was through pure love of barbiturates.
He didn't. He did it for the love of heroin.
anyway, let's be constructional. Earlier on, we were talking about AI and robotics. I had an article where they were saying they were. They're going to download people's ego and people's memories into robots, and basically these robots are going to talk like the person. They've already done it, actually. I've seen videos of them doing it on a primitive scale. Do you think in the future we will have robots with downloaded personas of people?
Of course we will, and they'll be able to paint feathers on black...
And I'm not talking to you, Tommy, I'm talking about...
on black canvases.
Well, that's what the transhumanists are talking about doing. I go back and forth on this. I think it's sometimes just a scam to get us to all take the Google brain implant.
Yeah.
Who knows? You know, I think we will see people that are enhanced by cybernetics, and there will be a time when there are quote-unquote robot people. I think they'll be born as humans, and then they'll have attached to them certain things like Google brain implants, or I even think some people will have their arms and or legs removed intentionally to have things attached that'll give them great, you know, strength and ability. And our society, I think, is an aberration. It's something that's gone down the wrong path of evolution. So we're going to see more and more strange stuff like this.
Not humanity is an aberration. It's the whole idea. Look, we were just talking about, you know, Dave Icke.
Right, right.
Yeah, we were just talking about it before you came on air with us. And that is that there is a reptilian part of the brain which is dormant in most people. But the reason why Dave comes up with this sort of like weird, you know, that they are actually lizards, what he's describing in reality is that they actually cultivate that part of the brain. And that is the reason why they have such disdain for humanity. Because anybody can become a psychopath if you work on it. Come on, Mark, write a song.
comment in the chat room, the army are implanting infrared vision chips, supposedly.
Yep.
Really? So you can see with your naked eye in the dark, then?
Yeah.
With these?
Yeah. So post that link on the Enemy Within page on Facebook, Chris.
Mm. Now, that's been going on for a long time. But the point is here is that... look, I will tell you, my God will tell you, it doesn't matter, we will tell you, there is no way in which humanity can survive with this type of utopia. human beings are, in their essence, good. And because they are good, they will strive towards it. Everybody who is normal, apart from those who cultivate the lizard side of the brain, which is, in actual fact, the royals, and that's the reason why they're paedophiles. That's the reason why they December. Look, tonight, I will tell you something. Tonight, a priest, I'm not going to give his name out on air, but a priest came by the club, and he is involved in the child abuse and, you know, the whole trafficking of young children for rape, murder, etc. And he showed me, luckily he didn't show my mother and other people.
He's involved in investigating it, you mean?
No, he actually has homes where he saves the children and, you know, gives them a place to live. I mean, dormitories, basically. I mean, it's not luxury or anything. Just take him out. He does this all over Eastern Europe. And he showed me a photograph of one of the victims, and what they had done is they'd chopped off her head and then raped her dead body.
So this was in the Catholic Church.
No, he's not in the Catholic Church. It's to do with the whole idea of when you provoke the evil in any human being, you appeal to the gratification. Look, let me put it out this way. If you think about it, your mind is free. Your mind can do anything. Nobody is better than anybody else. There is no such thing. If you put your mind and soul to it, you can create anything. You are as intelligent as Einstein. I am. Probably more than Einstein, at least. Now, I'm a bit worried about things like Kepler and Riemann. Not so good on that. Leibniz I can handle. But, you know, I'm more intelligent than Einstein. But the point is here. Anybody can do anything with their mind. But think about that. If they can do the good, it's possible for the mind to imagine the worst of all worst possible scenarios. In other words, look, haven't you ever thought about having sex with your friend's wife?
I don't know that I want to answer that question.
No,
I'm sure. Yeah, those kind of things happen.
Of
you know,
they do. Everybody is capable of it. So you can imagine the worst. Everybody's mind is capable of it. What restrains us?
I think something else may be going on here, though, with these intense religions, because I was just reading about, under the rule of Ayatollah Khomeini in Iran, his Republican Guard did the same kinds of things. They would cut the breasts off women, rape them, and then shoot them in the head. You know, they would do horrible stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. You see, so, and they did it in the name of religion, but that's a lie. They actually did it because they enjoyed it.
That's sick.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but this is the brutal reality we are living in. I mean, in England, have you heard recently, Mark, about our situation? The paedophile scandal has now got so close to Buckingham Palace and Balmoral, yeah, where they are actually now in the press in England talking about people being groomed and raped inside these so-called bastions of tradition and the British tradition. And you know what's so funny? They're all Germans. They're all bloody Transylvanians telling us. Yeah? No. Thing is here, if you have this, if you cultivate over and think about it, we go back even to the time of Aristotle, right the way through. Go and have a look at the most evil people in the world. You always find that they support the Aristotelian concept that man is an animal and cannot develop. But they are not. They are not. Oh no, they are superhuman. They are ubermensch. No?
Just take your off subject and get back to what Chris was doing in the chat room about these implants, the infrared implants. It's actually contact lenses, fancy night vision contact lenses.
Yeah.
This is what.
But wait, I think Chris was right when he said the implants are coming.
Oh, because, yeah. certainly that'll lead to changing people's eyes.
Yeah. But also what you see.
I think what I want to get back to is this whole idea that our society, our global society, is an aberration. We've departed from what's right, what's normal. We've departed from the usual course. And now we're an abnormality. Eccentricity comes to mind, hallucination. And I think these extreme religions and even fascism and neo-capitalism and all of our philosophies are leading to these abhorrent behaviors that the elite are actually doing more so because they have all this power and there's nothing to restrain them.
Exactly, and that's where the reptilian part of the mind has been cultivated by inbreeding over generation after generation. And that's what Dave Icke misinterprets as actually being reptilians. They're not actually reptilians. I mean, their tongues don't come out.
You call it blue blood. Call them blue bloods.
Yeah, well, call them. Yeah, exactly. And again,
and what colour would you say blood is if it's called blue?
Blue, exactly.
But it's called blooded at blue blood.
Yeah, exactly. And Tom and I, in the other half hour, just before you came on, Mark, we were talking about how many times do we talk about cold indifference, cold or negative. It's always got this connotation of a distance from other people. I just mentioned the people who served at Bilderberg, who, the waiters, you're not even allowed to look at these lizardites, if you want to call them that, or the elite. You're not allowed. They won't even give you a 10-pence tip, even though they've got $300 billion, yeah? That is because they have a total disdain for that which is beneath them. That's where you lose your humanity.
So the waiters are not even allowed to look them in the eye?
No.
I didn't know that.
No, I only found it out about four or five years ago.
It's true.
That's amazing.
Tom
was at Bilderberg as well in Watford. Tell him your experience. What you learned there.
The thing what I learned at the Bilderberg protest when it was in England was the behaviour of the mainstream media. And it was such a lesson to actually see media in practice and how mainstream media is created falsely. You have these people from mainstream media outlets walking backwards and forth, just practicing lines before they go live on TV. It's all scripted.
Oh.
They just walk backwards and forwards. It's going right.
Ah, really?
And then
there's nothing spontaneous about it.
Nothing at all. Nothing at all. And then you have different types. There's one network that likes to agree with people. What they'll do is they'll have a piece. Every network has a Bilderberg piece. Well, it did anyway in England. And what they would do, one network would go up to somebody and say, "Oh, you believe 9/11 was an inside job?" And they go, "Yes." "Oh, have you got any proof of that?" And then he'd reel off some things and she'd go, "Yes, that is proof." And you think, "Oh, she's going to do a positive report." And then, no, she takes 10 seconds from here, 10 seconds from there, and then creates something completely different.
That's interesting. So it's just all manipulated. And well, go ahead.
Some of this, the BBC is so robotic. It was unbelievable. Alex Jones was there just before it started, and he was being interviewed by BBC, and she got to the end of her questions, and he was filming her at the same time they were filming Alex. And she got to the end of her questions, and she didn't have any more, but she was still nodding, just nodding. And he had to go up to her and say, "Are you finished?" And she went, yeah. And then walked away.
Do you think she was under mind control?
In a way, yes.
It's almost there. It's almost at mind control stage, because it's just so programmed. It's just you have your lines, you say your lines, and then that's it. But sometimes the programming fails, and you don't know when it's finished. It's like,
wow, she was, that is amazing.
It's crazy. The video was on YouTube, and she's just nodding. She's going, and everybody's just looking. Alex is looking at her going, what's going on here? What's going on? She's still standing there just going,
oh, my. That is so crazy. I've seen films like that. Where these people will just, they go, you know, there are certain trigger words.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And Britney Spears was being interviewed on some show, and the interviewer, Diane Sawyer maybe, said spasm. And that must have been one of Britney's trigger words. So she started talking like a little girl with a little Valley Girl accent, and it was just horrific. Because she went into one of her altered personalities right there, and you can look that up on YouTube, and you can watch it. It's quite disturbing.
Yeah.
So
well,
these
I mean,
people.
Hey, you should have seen George Osborne in the Houses of Parliament. It's stoked out of his brain.
Are you serious?
Oh,
yeah. I'm not joking.
You've got to look it up. George Osborne, Chancellor of the Exchequer, out of his face.
Was he drunk?
Who knows what he was on, but basically he looks like he's travelled to the moon and he's looking at the earth going, "Oh, isn't it so blue and green?"
Yes, and he kept putting his hands up.
He's got his hands up. He's going,
"Serious?"
Yes.
And this,
this is behind the Prime Minister at the dispatch box.
No way! You guys are joking, right? You're joking.
No. Tommy thought I was joking to it. Until he was
making it. That's hilarious.
Sorry, carry on if you want to. I just wanted to give you a headline. This is from Independent. GCHQ's, that is the same as, mass surveillance is legal, judges decide. And who have you got? You got a picture just by it with the Queen of England giving out an MBE.
Well, don't they on the new television sets have a warning that says, "Be careful what you say because it's been recorded" or something?
That's right, absolutely. That came out about a month and a half ago. In an article, it was actually published as well. Yeah, and they also had some sort of weird advert. Am I right?
I don't know, man.
Yeah, be careful what you say, because...
Be careful, yeah. Because it's so humorous. It almost makes you want to... I mean, what do you do? You laugh. It's just ridiculous. It's so absurd. Tell me more about this George Osborne. Is he...
Go on, Tom. I'll let Tom...
Yeah, he's our Chancellor of the Exchequer.
It doesn't mean anything. Finance.
The one who controls the budget.
Yeah.
Oh.
Finances in the UK. Supposedly.
And he's a real straight-laced-looking guy with a suit and tie on, usually. And, I mean, he fits the whole persona of being very professional and... and then you're telling me he was bombed out of his mind?
Bombed out of his brain, man.
And they were filming it.
Well, this was in Parliament. This was Prime Minister's question time. This is in the middle of Parliament. The Prime Minister...
Oh, Mark might not know about this. In England, we have something called Parliament Live TV. So they record, and you can see it There is a channel, isn't there, Tom?
Yeah, it just seems that the Senate or the Congress, when they get together and they debate things, it's the same thing. We have Parliament, it gets together, and the Prime Minister's talking at the dispatch box. He's doing his piece, and behind him is sitting George Osborne, bombed out of his brain.
I would. You couldn't send me a link of that, could you?
Oh, yeah. Tommy will find it after the show.
Oh, I'd love to make an MP3.
All we have to do is just, I think it's called George Osborne.
No.
Does a Beyonce.
Probably is called that now.
It is, yeah. I found it from my mother this afternoon.
George.
Down at the club.
I was just going to put George Osborne off the list.
She was, for the first time in many years, she was not shocked, because, I mean, she's lived with me for a long time. So, I mean, not shocked, but she was a bit surprised. She said to me, "Wow, is that how far they've gone?" Yes!
You guys have to do this show at the pub. You have to. I mean, that's all there is to it. I want to hear both of you guys with a couple beers in you or a couple.
We do that anyway.
We're pretty good. Except, you see, Tom has a problem with me. See, Tom doesn't.
He does.
Tom doesn't understand that this is a cultural question.
A cultural.
Yeah, it is. Because it is the destruction of our culture and
yes,
our intellectual ability to say that certain things are right and certain things are wrong. Don't blur the lines. Smiley bumfuck is a danger to society. Yeah? Paris Hilton is a danger not only to society,
yeah, but there's the use
hopefully to herself.
Yeah.
And by the way, video games and the computer brainwashing has an effect on society. It is not disconnected. You cannot have all our young people. I mean, I was driving down on my wheelie bin the other day. I'm driving down on my, you know, it's an electronic little thing.
It's a Zimmer frame.
What?
It's a Zimmer frame.
No, it's a scooter now. A Zimmer frame, I fell over and nearly broke my shoulder. So I admit, I fell over, I was too tired, can't use the Zimmer frame anymore. Now I have to use this electronic little wheelie car, yeah, a wheelie bin, yeah. It's electronic, I press a button, it goes forward, I press another one, it goes backwards. I haven't killed anybody yet. But I'm going along on my wheelie bin, right? You got people walking by you, you say, "Hello." They can't hear you. They're all plugged in. They're like zombies. Yeah? And they're walking around. They haven't got any connection with planet Earth. Ask them. I tell you what, if they were to listen to this broadcast tonight, they wouldn't know what to make of it. Why? Not because we're talking nonsense. We'd be just talking about some of the most profound issues affecting humanity today.
I'm just watching George Osborne in the background, actually.
You've got to put it up. Is there a way you can put it up for Mark?
Yeah, I've sent it in the Skype chat.
Well, there you go. So, you know, you can see how we're run. But the point is, it's not only they are.
So, you got a problem with the way he was acting? I mean,
these are normal, right? Methods. We've done it for thousands of years.
It's a new style, you know? Open your mind up, Tommy. Sorry.
Yeah, it's all right. You know, I will tell you one thing. Unless we go back to thinking about things with the values. Look, as I said about Van Gogh, the value of him was that he was a loving person. And so he made stupid paintings, but he was a loving person. Yep. He was not a Leonardo da Vinci. He was not you know, a Rembrandt. He was not even a Constable.
He was a Jimi Hendrix. He was a George Osborne.
Gauguin was
it? He was a George Osborne. Okay.
I'm watching this video. Is he the guy on the right side?
Yeah, right. Yeah,
his eyes are wide open. His mouth is hanging.
And he's going to make the budget for the British Empire. That's why they're doomed.
Oh, you guys are killing me. I can't even... Oh,
these are all big leaders.
This is unbelievable.
They wait until he starts doing like John Kerry. Did you see John Kerry in Congress when he started doing this? Wait, can you see me?
Yeah.
Okay, look at this. He was going... It's true.
For the listeners, Tom was doing the lizard talk.
I'm still watching this guy. This is really good. I mean, this is just, he's shaking his head up and down, and he doesn't blink.
Now, a Christmas present to you.
His mouth is hanging open.
Him and Carrie would make a great team, wouldn't it?
There's nothing better than British humor, I'm telling you. This is so outrageous. Kind of looks like he has a learning disability or something, doesn't he? I mean, look at it.
He's got a drug disability.
Come on.
All right.
Let's get back to rationality here. And let's admit... Let's admit that the Queen is so incapable of doing things, she can't wipe her own bum.
She has the groom of the stool, Tommy.
Exactly.
These people have a job for a reason.
It's called collecting shit.
You know, these debates are really good to watch if you turn off the sound.
They are.
Just look at the expressions on their faces.
That's the same thing with pop music. Do you know, when we got our first television, I'm not joking, when we got our first television, we had a little, one of those little square box ones, had a sort of speaker on one side. Because in England we had really tacky ones during the 60s. And I remember it's black and white. And that was when the Beatles and the Rolling Stones were first being promoted as part of MK Ultra.
Ah, now you're getting into it. Yeah.
Part of beautiful music.
Anyway, so my mother turned around and we all gathered around because the Beatles were singing, "She loves you, yeah, yeah, yeah. She loves you, yeah, yeah." They hadn't learned how to play their instruments by that time. But... All right. So you got that. You know what she did? She said, "Turn off the volume and have a look at them." And you know what you get?
Thunderbird puppets. Your name.
Oh, my
God. And Mick Jagger was even worse. Back in the day when people were normal, if you went into a place and started, they'd lock you up.
That's George Osborne next week.
You know, the thing that's so funny about this George Osborne is he's so serious. I mean, he is serious. I mean, his mouth is open. He looks like he's going to start drooling. His eyes are wide open. But he's deadly serious. Jeez, man, what is wrong with this guy? I'm waiting for him to start flailing his arms around. He hasn't done that yet. Does that happen near the end? Okay, now he's starting to move around a little bit. All right.
The end's where the disco lights come on.
The disco lights go on.
Puts in the white.
I think I like this guy. You should get him on the radio program. We'll do an interview with George Osborne. Man, this will be awesome.
He's not allowed to because it proves that he's an incompetent drug addict.
Maybe he was just drinking that day. I mean,
this is beyond drink.
drinking turpentine.
I know because I drink.
Anyway, we're at the end of the show for tonight, unfortunately. Please check out the video of George Osborne, his face. You can find it at George Osborne Pooley, or Pooley George Osborne, on YouTube. Mark, give out any links you would like to give out?
Yeah, just Google.
Not after this.
Oh, are you guys serious?
Go ahead, Mark.
BlogTalkRadio.com, Ohio Exopolitics, and www.exopoliticsohio.us. Just Google Ohio Exopolitics, and I do actually get serious sometimes. So
sometimes,
yeah, you'll get a different kind of show if you. I don't know what happened to us today.
I mean, I think I just rushed in here 3 minutes before we actually did the broadcast, and one of the things is that Tom and I have. We know each other a little bit, you know, over the years that we've worked together. It's nearly 2 years now. And we know when there are certain things, but we get very serious too. And it is a serious situation we're dealing with when you have a person like the Chancellor of the Exchequer, stoned out of his brain, pretending to catch flies in the House of the should say it all, shouldn't it? And when you look at the United States, as I said, have a look at Jim Curry. John Curry, when he's doing his lizard impression.
Thank you, folks, for this week. Thank you, Mark, for joining us.
You're very welcome. It's been a lot of fun. I can't believe we went through a whole hour almost already.
Did.
All right.
Within Radio. Please check the Facebook page, Enemy Within Radio, all one word, at Enemy Within Talk on Twitter. And it's www.enemywithinradio.com. And it's blackhearttommy@hotmail.co.uk. Adios for this week, folks.
No.
lizard fears.
We never got past the intro in this show.
Let's get out of here.
Okay.
Adios, amigos.